This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Outspoken. Thank you for joining us again. Now, Sophie, it's going to be a big week for you, isn't it, this week?
You know when you embark on a week and you just already know it's going to be absolute hell on earth. So basically, I'm moving house on Thursday and it's been a pretty quick turnaround.
Well, just like last week when we were recording the podcast, Sophie randomly goes, oh, I've got to pause because I've got to go out and check out this open inspection. And we're like, what?
Yeah, well, basically, I hope my landlord's not listening because we're not allowed to actually have a dog at the house. So we've been hiding him for the past 2 weeks. We thought this would be seamless. We'll be able to hide the dog for the 5 months left on our lease that we have. But he is just so loud and I'm getting so paranoid. And we've got these neighbors next door who I've spoken about before. They're literally the Brady Bunch next door. They have lunches out the front. Their kid learns to ride a bike out the front. And I can't sneak the dog out without them seeing.
I think you guys are being over paranoid.
Because the thing is, they don't actually know that you're not allowed to have a dog.
I know, but they're all friends in this little community that we've got going on. And I'm just paranoid. And also, our backyard is just shit. There is not even a blade of grass on there. So I want my boy to have some grass to run around on.
Well, unfortunately, I've been roped into helping them move on Thursday because Sophie's new thing is to ask me a favor by getting Archie and talking in a baby's voice saying, Auntie Kate, can you help me move? And like, how do you say no to that?
How do you say no to the fake dog?
I know. Well, no, she does it holding him up.
Well, I'm actually just so excited though. Even though it's going to be hellish, I'm so excited to get into the new house. Amy and Kate are sick of hearing me talk about this house, but... Oh,
you told us it's very unusual or unique.
I'm so lucky that we're moving into a brand new house. It's this townhouse. And it's really weird because usually when people build a new house, like, you know, what do they call people who develop properties?
A developer.
That usually they have like the stock standard white tiles. This house has two bathrooms with feature walls that are blue, this bright blue color. It's also got an orange tree out the back, these floating stairs. It's so cool.
I can trump you. I have an orange tree and a lemon tree and a fig tree and I have red carpet. So that's very unique.
I don't know if that trumps me.
That's not really selling it. The issue is though, Sophie's lease doesn't end until November.
Yeah, and here's the doom and gloom police. You might get stuck for 5 months with it. I'm sorry. The place next door got snapped up in 6 days.
I think we should put a poll in the group, or we'll put a little topic up and people can predict how long it's going to take Sophie to get new
tenants.
That's
the thing. If we've got any Adelaide listeners, if anyone lives at West Beach is looking to live at West Beach, my house is 300 meters from the beach. It's a townhouse.
I have heard that so
it's
many
beautiful.
Times. Have you like measured it or something?
I should be down there at the inspection trying to sell it to everyone when they come in. It is a wonderful house to live
at. Look, now Sophie, this is about making a bet about how long it's going to take to get snapped up. It's not an ad for
your
property.
Let's get it on the record, Kate. What's your prediction? How many weeks is it going to take?
I think it'll be 6 weeks.
Six?
I'm going to say 4 weeks. And if they bring somebody in, they might bring them in at a reduced rate and you might have to pay for the following
That's not how
months.
It works. I think I personally think it's going to be two weeks.
Okay, well, we're gonna check back in.
Possibly in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, we'll never know. Now, Kate, you've had a pretty busy and exciting week.
Yes, I have. I'm finally not unemployed. I've picked up some contract work, so that's been really great. Working from home in my home office, aka the dining table, I've got Shadow is my coworker, which is my golden retriever, and he's becoming so clingy to me that he'll actually try and sit on my lap whilst I'm on the computer, which is quite hard because he does weigh 32 kilos.
Wow.
I've also been to the dentist, so I'm just getting my life in order.
And bit of life admin going on.
Oh my gosh. You forget how awkward that experience is. And my dentist is amazing and I needed to go get a night guard because I grind my teeth so much and I lost it. So
how do you lose a night mouth guard?
Okay, that was a lie. I didn't lose it. It's just stained and it smells.
Why don't you just say you needed a new one?
Sorry, they are so easy to lose because what happens is they're so tight on your teeth that when you're sleeping, you just take it out and you just throw it somewhere.
When I live with you, Amy, I used to go in her room and just lying next to her pillow would be this discarded mouth guard with spit all over it. Just be Yuck. Disgusting.
What do you well, expect?
She, it's better when she actually wears it because otherwise it sounds like she's eating gravel. Anyway, I did go and it was bloody awkward because I don't know if anyone remembers when they used to get mouth guards fitted, but they put that awkward putty stuff in your mouth and then they shove it up there and you're sitting there like with this thing in your mouth. And it's just the most awkward thing. You try not to make eye contact with anyone in the room.
It's the hardest when they start asking you questions when they've got their hands in your mouth and you're just like, how on earth am I supposed to be speaking to these people?
No, the hardest thing is when you have to try and breathe and you've got to do it through your nose.
Yeah, it's bloody awkward, but I'm very thankful that that's done for the year.
Do you know what I want to know? Where do they find those glasses? You know, they always have the nerdiest glasses to put on you to block out the light.
Well, probably because they're not going to buy brand new glasses, so they're just bringing in old shit from home. Amy, what about your week? I know there's been some improvement health-wise for you.
Well, I'm on another massive health kick. So I sort of tried to give up sugar a few months ago, but I found myself slipping. I got into buying Curly Whirlies and mineral water.
So you're not having Curly Whirlies anymore?
Look, there's some in the cupboard. And they'll be if I'm, you know, on my cheat days. But I'm literally just sticking to the cola kombuchas. I'm cutting out the soft drinks, like the mineral waters I was having.
And what is your reason for this?
Well, the thing is, to be honest, we had Maria Harpus from Natural Health Medicine on the podcast and she was talking about the dangers of the pill. And I really want to get off the pill, but I don't want my skin to go back to how it was. So I had a few pimples and things from before the pill, and the pill's really helped my skin. So I'm trying to sort of detox my body, get it into a healthy state so then I can go off it.
Well, you have to let us know next week if you've crumbled and had any of those chocolate bars.
I think you should throw them out of the house. I think that's the best idea.
That is the thing, though. I have been on a bit of a health kick too, and on the weekend.
Sorry, you told me yesterday that you were eating chocolate biscuits and lollies on Saturday.
This is my story. Brandon bought fruit chocks, bloody marble chocolate, which is my biggest weakness at the moment. And because I haven't had it, I just couldn't stop myself. It was unbelievable. See, and I actually finished the whole bag of fruit chocks. I didn't realize Brandon hadn't had any. And the next day he's like, oh, where's the fruit chocks? I was like,
that is the worst when you think someone else is like, even if someone only takes two, in your head, you justify that you haven't eaten the whole bag.
Well, I want to leave in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast Facebook community. I want to leave in a little post for some suggestions on some healthy snacks. And I don't mean to turn all hippie and crazy, but I just want to be eating healthier to feel better as well.
I think when you get older you realize how important it is to be healthy and nourish your body with stuff like you realize the importance of healthy eating.
But you do have to have your go-to snack, don't you? Because mine has been Curly Whirlies for my snack because they only have 12 grams of sugar compared to 30 grams in like a Mars bar.
Look, I will get the ball rolling in the community and I will share my favorite healthy apple muffin recipe. They are so good and they don't have any added sugar.
Yum. Okay.
If you've been watching me for a while, then you know that I have done a lot of things in my past that I hate.
Let's get into our first topic, and YouTuber Shane Dawson has officially been cancelled as Carmageddon rocks the beauty world. So for those who aren't up with the lingo, Carmageddon refers to influencers facing their comeuppance following a history of meltdowns in the beauty community. So Kate, I think we've all seen this online, but can you sort of run us through what exactly has happened?
All right. Well, I love the word Carmageddon. I actually think that should become a part of everyday lingo. It was all sparked after Dawson posted a lengthy statement on Twitter about Dramageddon 2.0. So that was all about the cancelling of James Charles. Now, he denied any involvement in bringing James Charles down. And what really pissed people off was he wrote at the end of his tweet, "The beauty gurus who are always involved in scandals are all the fucking same. They are all attention-seeking, game-playing, egocentric, narcissist, vengeful, two-faced, ticking time bombs ready to explode, and I'm over it." That's pretty brutal, isn't it?
Now, I was going to say, for those who don't know, James Charles is, of course, a beauty influencer, and he was, I suppose, cancelled around this time last year.
Yeah, it was May 2019.
Yeah, after Tati Westbrook, who is another beauty influencer, posted a video called Bye Sister, where she basically just slammed James, made all these accusations against him. And now it's come out. Tati has posted another video where she's accused Shane Dawson, as well as Jeffree Star, He was a huge beauty influencer of being behind it all. So she says that they coerced her into producing the video.
Yeah, so once a tweet went out from Dawson, that's when everyone started to think, hang on, and started to sort of, you know, bitch about him. And they started bringing up things that he had done in the past. So there's some very terrible videos he's posted in blackface, and there's some horrible jokes he's made about pedophilia and just some horrible things that he's done. But he's actually already apologized for those in the past, but they've been brought up again. And
but
then,
it's all been sparked by the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, so obviously the behavior of some influencers has been brought back, and people are questioning, well, was that all right for Shane Dawson to do that? No, that's terrible. And he has apologized previously, but it's all been brought up again because everyone's been questioned and everyone's past behavior is being analyzed.
Well, the video you were talking about earlier, Kate, is a video of Shane pretending to masturbate over a photo of an 11-year-old Willow Smith, which was rather disgusting, and it's since gone viral because Smith's family have come out slamming Shane for his actions.
Oh, it was disgusting. I just don't understand how anyone thinks that that could be funny.
It does bring up the point, though, that Shane Dawson, I think he's been on YouTube for over 10 years. He's probably one of the biggest YouTube stars. And back in the day, to gain followers, it used to be about shocking audiences, where now that sort of behavior just wouldn't fly.
Well, what has the, can you, Kate, can you talk us through what the backlash has been like? Obviously, we've touched on the Smith family, but what has it been like from his followers?
Yeah, so Shane has lost 1 million subscribers in the last 2 weeks, and his books and his makeup line with Jeffree Star have actually been removed from online stores at Morphe and Target. So it's a massive shift going from obviously no one wanting to even sell his stuff to just 6 months ago when the conspiracy palette he collaborated with Jeffree Star on actually crashed the Target and Morphe website because it sold out that quickly, and he allegedly earned $10 million from that palette.
Well, it is interesting timing by Tati Westbrook, though, because she released this tell-all video, I believe it was on Thursday last week, and this is after, of course, Shane has been absolutely slammed for the blackface, for all of the, you know, masturbating or pretend masturbating over the picture of Willow Smith, poster of Willow Smith. So pretty good timing on her behalf, because at this point, everyone's thinking Shane Dawson's an absolute jerk. So people are just going to go, yeah, well, he must have done all of that as well.
Well, it's your classic pile on, isn't it? You come in at the end and then completely make everything explode. And it's quite interesting because Tati obviously played that crucial part in the bringing down of James Charles, and now she's using the same method she used to do that to bring down Shane Dawson. It's really a bit strange.
It was all very odd because I do remember sitting down and watching her video, and to be honest, I had no idea who she was. I never had followed her, but you know, my understanding is she is a huge YouTuber in the US, and it just seemed so odd that over a year later, she's doing the same video except slamming another beauty influencer and another hugely popular YouTuber.
Well, as you touched on, just from a PR perspective, she's obviously got a large team behind her who's giving her the advice on when to strike. And as you said, because she has switched her team basically back and forth whose side she's on, it was a great time to do it when Shane was in so much trouble with the blackface incident.
But do you guys think that her claims weren't valid because she had been involved in the previous takedown of James Charles? Did you think what she was saying was true?
I definitely think it made it very murky, because why are we supposed to believe her now? We believed her in the first place, and apparently that wasn't true. So it does put her integrity into question a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And I found it quite troubling to think about reflecting. So Shane Dawson, Jeffree Star, and Tati Westbrook, they're all in their early 30s, and to think that they all got together and all came up with this plot to bring down James Charles, a 19-year-old, it just seems disgusting. And it's sort of like, well, you're saying that they manipulated you to help with their upcoming publicity for a collaboration, then aren't you a player in that?
So just to put it all into perspective, what's happened is Shane Dawson, he's very well known for his documentaries. I sort of heard about him when I watched the
Jake Paul.
Yeah, the Jake Paul one, talking about sociopaths. And so he's very well known for calling out other influencers. And he did a doco with Jeffree Star all about the makeup industry. And that's where he created his own palette. And he was talking about all the massive deals that they have in the makeup industry. So if you read between the lines, what Tati's accusing Shane of is literally partnering up with Jeffree Star to destroy James Charles, using her as a pawn to do so in order to then release release his own palette, which then made $30 million.
Yeah, well, he's also been accused of using the beauty world as a cash grab because he's gone on to develop this conspiracy palette, made millions, and then swiftly bolted and just trashing it from the sidelines in his tweet, just saying how horrible the people in the beauty industry are, the people that you very much took advantage of to make a lot of money.
Do you know what confuses me, though? Obviously, you've just said that he's quite a well-known, you know, making documentaries.
Mm.
From a journalistic perspective, when you make a documentary, you're supposed to be quite objective and removed from the talent in the story. You don't go into business with the talent in the story and develop your own palette.
Well, it's YouTube.
But I suppose that, well, in saying that, that's probably what's landed him in a lot of trouble. Even with his documentaries on Jake Paul, he's been accused of being too sympathetic towards the talent and being on their side.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's what I was thinking as well. It's a very hard place to be in if you then become friends with the people that you are trying to analyze or trying to bring down,
even profit off, though, if you're making $30 million from an industry you're trying to critique.
Well, talking about all the money in the beauty world, do you guys think that drama is part of, I suppose, fueling the interest in the beauty vloggers?
I definitely think so. I mean, even if you look at the Australian beauty YouTubers, how people get so sick of just seeing them do beauty tutorials. We want to see the bitchiness. We want to see the cattiness that goes into these, into the, their lives, yeah. Don't we?
Well, Kate had a theory. You said, I don't know if you think it's true anymore, but you initially said, what if all four of them were involved just to cause controversy around all of themselves? I mean, they're all over the newspaper. They're in mainstream publications. There'd be people reading about them who have no idea who they are. I mean, our parents would have no idea.
Yeah, well, the Dramageddon 2.0 is what made James Charles a household name. And I'm not talking about on YouTube. I'm talking about people like our dad would have seen the news stories about him. And thinking back, even in Australia, there are influencers who all sort of use each other and appear in each other's videos. So it could be very much orchestrated. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar industry that we're talking about. And there's very much a storyline that often gets used that's very effective, which is the angel and the devil. Mm. So in this instance, Jeffree Star was the devil and Shane Dawson was the angel, and they played off against each other. But unfortunately, by Shane Dawson aligning his brand with Jeffree Star, it's all come unstuck now because he's now being seen as similar to Jeffree Star, a very manipulative person.
But don't you think, because we previously mentioned that Shane Dawson has apologized for his blackface in the past, but the thing is, I feel like at the moment, Shane's image has totally changed from when he first started YouTube. And we're talking about his doco series and all of that kind of thing. The thing is, I feel like he's being held to account because his image was quite clean compared to Jeffree Star. Like, as you said, Jeffree Star's been the baddie. So everyone doesn't really bat an eyelid that he's involved. But everyone's like, what? Shane Dawson's involved? And now we're going to cancel
him. Well, Jeffree Star has been in trouble in the past for racist tweets that have gone off as well. So yeah, it is very interesting.
No one's surprised, are they?
No.
But people are surprised by Shane Dawson.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jeffree Star has only lost 50,000 subscribers since Westbrook's video was posted. But for the most part, he's managed to stay a secondary person in all of this drama. And it actually seems to be that some celebrities are quite bulletproof.
Mm.
Because, I mean, you think about it in normal, you know, sort of traditional celebrities. People like Chris Brown, who was convicted of assaulting Rihanna in 2009, and has had a long history of violence towards women, he is still someone that people pay to download its music.
Also, Kate, do you think it's the shock factor, as you were saying, Shane was kind of being pictured as this angel and this person helping out people? Do you think that that's why he's being cancelled at the moment?
Well, I do. I think it's because some influencers are held to different standards. And often it's this reflection of how they're actually portrayed. So, of course, Shane is portrayed as a really nice guy. He's someone that helps us uncover these conspiracies. So he's essentially someone that we consider a friend. So people that have grown up watching his channel for 10 years, they will be on his side. But then obviously he's done something that shocked us all. So we feel like he's lied to us essentially.
Mm. It kind of reminds me at school. You know, if you were a goody-goody at school and you didn't wear your tie properly or something, you'd get told off. When the bad kids did it, the teacher turned a blind eye because they just expected them. It's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Well, when your expectations are low on someone, you're not really going to be that disappointed when they do the wrong thing, are you?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's some YouTubers out there that use chaos and controversy as a brand for themselves. So there's a lot that are really attention seeking. And if they are not getting attention. They're going to cause drama so they get that attention on themselves.
Well, talking about cancel culture, there's been so much talk about Chris Lilley, and there was recently an article in the Daily Mail where a photographer just basically followed him one afternoon and he ended up running away. And those pictures were just plastered all over the Daily Mail. And I've got to say, I'm absolutely sick of cancel culture. Because with the Chris Lilley stuff, I understand that what he did, now in 2020, you look at it and it has not aged well. And it was not right for him to use blackface. But what we've got to remember is Chris Lilley does hold up a mirror to society. And back in the day when all of his shows aired, he was winning gold Logies. People thought it was funny and people laughed. And now we're saying, oh no, he's in the wrong. You know, he hasn't even had really a chance to defend himself.
He's an incredibly talented comedian. And a lot of his work, I mean, his most recent documentary, where obviously they had to be a little bit more careful about the stuff they put out there, I think was incredible. And hopefully he still gets an opportunity to do the work that he is great at.
It is interesting to reflect on the way Chris Lilley has been treated because, as you said, a lot of his work is about stereotyping and reflecting society back to make a point. And that's exactly what Sacha Baron Cohen does. And a lot of people misinterpret his humor because I didn't actually realize he's Jewish. And obviously so many of his jokes in Borat are about the Jews. But he is actually making those jokes, similar to how Basil Fawlty on Fawlty Towers used to make jokes about, say, the Germans in the war. It is to show people how ridiculous and how racist those comments are, and to show people that we should be laughing and mocking people like that. And that's what annoyed me, because Chris Lilley is trying to reflect society back to itself. And
he's trying to start a discussion point, isn't it?
Yeah. And obviously, as we've said, there are ways that he could have done it better, and using blackface is not acceptable. But it is hard when people are trying to tear him down for something that I don't think was done with any malice or hate.
We have to remember, as we've touched on, the time that these things were created and what was acceptable then.
I definitely don't think it's constructive jumping on people in these situations. Obviously, there is room for education and no one is doubting that. But in with the Shane Dawson case, when people then go and just slam him and cancel him and completely take aim at him, what that's going to do to the person is they're going to retreat and they're going to think of themselves as being the victim in that situation. So they're not going to go out and start learning about Black history and why blackface is offensive. They're going to think, I'm the victim and I'm going to sit at home and cry about this. And as brought up, James Charles was close to suicide this time last year when he was cancelled.
Well, that's kind of what I think. I think, well, when they've apologised, really, what else can they do? If it's a genuine apology, there's not much more the person can actually do.
But that's what shocks me about the public is we're just so easily led by whoever's bringing about the narrative. Like, as you said, we all jumped on James Charles. Now we're all jumping on Shane Dawson. Why can't we just have a bit of time to mull over it and just not react in such negativity?
I actually saw some influencers posting on their Insta story over the weekend. It was a quote about cancel culture, and it was saying, can we not cancel people? Can we be a bit kinder and educate people and give them the chance to educate themselves and apologize?
Because at the end of the day, no one is perfect. And especially now when we're going back and holding people accountable for things that they've done 10 years ago,
it opens up a can of worms, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I don't feel like there would be anyone who has not looked back on past behavior and thought, I could have done that better.
Imagine all the stupid shit that you did at school, like the things that you thought, even just dumb things that you do with your friends or whatever.
But that's the whole thing with social media, though. Like, social media started at a time when a lot of us personally were very, very young and didn't know the repercussions of our actions, and the fact that that's going to be a footprint for you for the rest of your life.
And that is the scary thing that everyone needs to remember. What you put out on the internet is not going away, and especially if you are a big YouTuber, because people are going to screenshot it, screen record it, and that is going to be on your history for a very long time.
Let's try some. Bloody hell, God, you... Like, does anyone else's boyfriend eat like that?
Now let's get into the pit and peak of the social media week. Now, Kate, you have the peak for us. It's a new YouTuber you found.
Yes, I thought I would help everyone out with a recommendation, and it is Ellie Darby. Now, she is an English YouTuber, and I have been laughing so much at her content. It's not actually meant to be comical, but I find it so relaxing. So she has been on YouTube for quite a few years, and she's one of those typical kind of people that vlogs about their life and does mukbangs and all that sort of stuff, and her sidekick is her boyfriend, Con. Now, the way she speaks to Con is hilarious. They've been together for 6 years, so they've kind of got that thing where they're past their honeymoon phase, and it's just hilarious. She's always like, Con, don't do that. And they go through McDonald's together, and oh my gosh, I've been telling Sophie and Amy they need to watch it.
Okay, I'm going to get on it. I think the pit, though, this week has to be another UK vlogger, Saffron Barker. We've recommended her before. Now, she's announced that she's got a new boyfriend. And I'm not saying this is the peak, but this is so disturbing. In less than 24 hours of Saffron announcing that this guy was her boyfriend, he went from having, I think it was about 800 followers to having over 40,000. And the reason that this is the pit is I do feel really sorry for some influencers, because if you're a young 19-year-old girl, you're going to be second-guessing everybody that wants to date you, because this guy is now an influencer.
The funny thing is I saw Saffron's post and she didn't even tag him in the post. So how did they find him?
Well, he wrote, I love you.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah, isn't it?
So I did have a little look, and I don't know about this kid at all, but he did kind of give off cross that vibe of a wannabe influencer.
It cracks me up that people have had to troll through, because the amount of comments someone like Saffron Barker would get, and they've trolled through all of them and then had to check and see if that's him.
If she responded, so then it was one of the top comments. That's okay. Why.
Oh, yeah. I trolled through the comments immediately trying to find out who he was.
I just said I don't know which nuts would be doing
that.
Well,
to be honest, I just walked in from taking the dog to the toilet, so I missed that.
Oh, my gosh, Sophie, because you've completely interrupted this segment, you have to tell everybody the message you received from your boyfriend before.
Oh, my gosh, it was so funny. So, but just before I left to come over to record the podcast, sorry.
That's Sophie's baby. Sorry, everybody.
Archie weed on the floor, which is one of his bad habits. I haven't taught him exactly how to pee outside
yet. He's not toilet trained yet.
No.
Please don't tell me you wee on the floor and he's picked that up.
Anyway, I was rushing out the door and I was like, oh, I'll clean that up when I get back. Anyway, I get this message from Brandon. He must have taken a piss by the front door because I just slipped over it, and I just, just the image of him slipping in the dog's piss.
Poor Brandon.
Poor Brandon.
Anyway, that's it for the pit and the peak of the social media week.
She's the least exciting to look at.
Let's get into our reality wrap of the week. I know we've been saying this for weeks, but Bachelor in Paradise, next week is the week.
God, yes. It feels like an eternity, doesn't it?
And the full cast have actually finally been revealed. And I am so excited because Kira Maguire is back. She was on the first series of Bachelor in Paradise and, of course, on Richie Strawn's series. And Kira surprisingly found love with Jared from Sophie Monk's series, which shocked me. So I have no idea who she will actually be interested in the cast.
I'm guessing that she's just been thrown in there and there's not going to be any interest because she hasn't been teased at all as having a love interest with anybody at the moment.
Well, apparently...
How dumb are we? Because I follow Kira on Instagram and I keep seeing her post Insta stories with Kieran and Tim. So, of course, she was always going to be in it because how would she know them otherwise?
But you know what? The thing that is difficult now is because of social media and the fact that all of these Bachelor contestants, well, a lot of them now have their own podcasts, it's really hard for us as a viewer to not have an inkling whether they find love or not.
Can I just give you a tip, Sophie? And this is the tip I try and give my boyfriend when I try and encourage him to watch reality TV. Don't think too deeply into it.
Yeah, don't ask too many questions. Just enjoy it.
It's just going to ruin it for you.
Do you know what, though? I'm really looking forward to it, but I feel like I'm going to be disappointed like I was with Big Brother. I don't know. Something about Bachelor in Paradise is always a letdown.
Well, Sophie, I'm trying to get you on the bandwagon because you keep saying you're going to watch reality TV, and then I'm the only one that ever bloody seems to watch
it. Yeah, because it's shit at the moment. I'm sorry. It's shit
okay,
at the moment.
Well, to get you excited, the other people that are going to be on it, so there's four from Matt's series, of course, Abby Chatfield, who we love. There's also Helena, Mary, and Cassandra. Now, I didn't really know who Cassandra was, but Mary, of course, she was hilarious. So I think she's going to be good value. And Helena was very good value on Matt's series too. There's also
Helena, she was the one that had a strange meeting with the family. Was that right?
Yeah, I think she tried to dump him before. Yeah, and she's South African. Oh,
she's the one that came out with that controversial diet.
Yes, that's her.
After the Batchy.
There's also Jamie, the stage 5 clinger from Angie's series.
They always put those characters in, though, the ones that have been framed as the psycho.
Maybe that Kira will fall for him because, you know, her ex was a stage 5 clinger.
He on the video promoting the fact that Kira's back said he liked Kira. So I could actually see that happening.
I remember hearing that Abby Chatfield hits it off with him.
Oh, really?
Which would shock me.
I think we've got to remember that the way they're portrayed normally on their first outing on The Bachelor or Bachelorette isn't really indicative of how they appear on Bachelor in Paradise. Because, of course, it's looking like Kieran that we talked about last week is going to be the bad boy. But another bad boy that is joining him is Jake Ellis from Georgia Love Series, who was on, I think, the previous season. He was on with, I think it was season one with Megan.
Yeah, he was a dick, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's come out and slammed the Bachelor franchise for making him look bad. Yet he's now gone back on it, so he doesn't hate
all,
it that much.
Like, so they desperate all do for fame,
crawling back. When I saw him, I was like, "Are you serious? Could they not get anybody else?"
Well, yeah, well, I actually couldn't recognize a few people in the cast.
Yeah, well, that's why there were a lot of nobodies that are obviously they're trying to get people on the show. So hopefully, I hope the people that we don't know and haven't seen before actually get some airtime, because I feel really bad for them that they didn't get any airtime before.
Well, what about the claims that Alex, who was known as US Alex on the previous series of Bachelor in Paradise, has made? He, of course, was, as I said, from the US Bachelorette. He was bloody hot.
Yeah. And American Alex, I think. Yeah,
American Alex. And he was dating Brooke.
Yeah, so if you cast your mind back to last year, there was that whole love triangle, apparently, between Brooke, who came out as bisexual in the Honey Badger series, and Alex Nation, and then American Alex. So we were all made to think that American Alex was being taken for a ride and there was this love story blossoming between Alex Nation and Brooke. But apparently, according to American Alex, it was just queer baiting from The Bachelor, and they took advantage of the fact that they were both called Alex. And a lot of the quotes Brooke said about American Alex, they pretended were about Alex Nation.
You're telling me The Bachelor edited their grabs and took them out of context?
I know, that's it's crazy, isn't it? Who would have thought? I thought these were real love stories that we were watching.
So disappointing.
Well, in other Bachelor news, sadly, and I'm not really surprised, Angie Kent and Carlin revealed on Instagram on Wednesday night that they've split up.
I mean, I think the most shocking thing to come out about this announcement was Carlin showing his Instagram followers him getting his lips done.
Well, that's the thing. So he came out on Angie's series of The Bachelorette and admitted to the boys that he did get lip fillers, which, you know, that's what he wants to do. Good on him if that's what floats his boat.
Is that your real opinion?
Well, yeah, if that makes him feel better. I personally don't know if I'd want my boyfriend getting lip fillers, but if that's what he wants to do.
Do you know what the terrible thing was? I saw the Daily Mail article about it, and they showed his lips before, and I literally would have never noticed there was anything wrong with them. But then because he'd had them done, I was like, wow, they did look quite small.
Well, the issue was that Carlin took to his Insta story to explain what had happened, you know, that he and Angie had broken up, and people couldn't stop fixating on his lips because he'd literally just had them done the day before, and so they were extra, extra puffy.
Here's a fun fact for our listeners. Our father, Hugh Talbot, has very big lips. What? And he hates them. He has covered them up for the past 31 years.
He's grown a moustache that covers
them. Yeah, he has a moustache that covers them. He could be quite in fashion now if this is a thing for men.
Maybe. Well, on a more serious note, Carlin did come out and say his mental health had affected his relationship with Angie, and he did reveal back in May that he suffers from severe depression and anxiety. So I think it was interesting what Angie said, because she said that their values didn't align, and there was a bit of emphasis on it being Carlin's problem. So it's quite interesting that he's come out and addressed and said, yeah, it was my mental health issues. So hopefully Carlin is in a much better headspace now.
And I love Angie. So I was upset to hear that, because you do want things to work out for her. So we wish her all the best, because she's been on our show before and she was such a legend.
Yeah, she was amazing.
I mean, I think she'll be fine. She's a very independent person from what it seems like. So I'm sure that there's only the best to come for her.
And you never know. Tim might not find love on Bachelor in Paradise. So
what about Brittany? It's so hard. We want Brittany Hockley to find love on there. And moving on to Big Brother. Now, this one shocked me, because it seems like all the interesting stuff happening on Big Brother isn't aired. So Hannah, who was evicted a couple of episodes ago, has come out and said that she actually likes Kieran.
Yeah, they had a party pash, apparently.
Oh my God, I saw this and I could not believe it.
Yeah, so I actually read it first and I was like, okay, this is from the Daily Mail, so I'm going to actually watch the video, because surely she was joking.
Yeah.
But it was very odd. It seems like she's trying to make it a thing. So she said when she first arrived in the house that she felt, you know, sorry for Kieran, because he hadn't, I don't think he'd kissed a girl or dated anyone. So they
didn't even air his first ever kiss.
Yeah. So she said that she would give him some dating advice, and they did a mock up date, and she sort of told him how to act. And then she let him kiss her to practice once. But then on the night that I think it was before she was being evicted, she apparently threw like a bouquet. It was at a party, threw a bouquet, and if he caught it, then she said she would give him a kiss. So she did. Why has none of this aired?
Because they're just focusing on all the strategy.
Yeah, and she even referred to him as her hot house husband and said that when Kieran found out she had been nominated, he came in and said to Big Brother, oh, well, we might need to get a divorce. So all the focus has been on Chad and Sophie's relationship. Yet they haven't really explained even that they're in a relationship or kissed or anything. Like, where is all the raunchy stuff?
Do you think that Hannah's pissed off? Because usually it's quite a good strategy for people to get into a relationship to be popular. So she's probably, like, taking one for the team.
I'm bloody getting Kieran, and now I'm not even...
Yeah. And then this bloody thing hasn't even been there.
You think it would be quite a story that this hot girl has hooked up with this nerdy guy that's never had a girlfriend. Sort of like Beauty and the Geek style vibes.
I've always said with Big Brother, because it's pre-filmed, they could have made so many different shows. Like, they could literally sit there now and cut up an old school version of Big Brother and include all this shit. They could make an uncut one. Mm. But they've chosen to just do Survivor Big Brother style.
Yeah, it's very sad. All the gossip... It's very sad all the juice is now on the editor's floor.
These producers are fucking idiots. I'm going home. I don't need the money. Do you think these gonna pay my mortgage? I've got money.
I know you are.
Listen, Gemma.
I'm claustrophobic, Darren.
It's time now for Awkward Turtle, and this awkward moment involves you two.
Yes, well, I got roped into this awkward moment, and I knew as soon as I said yes, this moment would be awkward.
Well, working in PR, you've got to sometimes source talent for stories and photos. And basically, my client is going to be in the Daily Telegraph about an app she has. So they needed a young girl for the photo.
Thank you for considering me young. That's all right. I'm 31.
Now, I asked around. I asked a lot of different friends and people I knew to be in the story. And unfortunately, I couldn't get someone at this late stage. So I thought, who do I know?
Gee, this is making me feel more and more happy to be involved. The last option.
No, I thought of you first, but I knew you wouldn't want to do it. Anyway, I had to send over a photo to get approval for Kate to be in the story. So I sent over a photo stupidly with the two of us in it. And then the journalist was like, oh, what a great idea. I'll have both of you in it.
Sorry, to me it sounds like you sent a photo of you two to get involved.
So if you wanted to be in the photo.
I did not want... I swear I did not want to be in the photo.
The funniest bit of this story is that... So Soph conned Kate into being in it. And the night before, Kate goes, wait a second. Why isn't Amy in it? It's her PR company.
Because I just know you would not. You would flat out refuse.
And I would have.
And then I would have been stuck being in it by myself.
Well, I would have refused.
Again, I was emotionally blackmailed to be in it because I don't like having my photo taken. And I have been...
Did the dog ask you to be in it?
I can't remember how, but I, as a media manager, a lot of my job involves setting up photos like Sophie has done. So usually I'm the person holding the flash and getting the people in the photo. So I knew what it was going to take. It was going to be a lot of fake laughing, really awkward over the top poses. And that's exactly what it was. Well, and we look so materialistic in the photo. There are all these like shopping bags that were Sophie's, like Sephora, Zara.
Comment in the group if you want me to share it because it's coming out on Saturday in the Daily
Telegraph.
Well,
I am dreading it because I just know that they're going to choose some unflattering angle or some double chin shot.
Well, I think I got the ultimate karma though because they told us, oh, wear bright clothes. So I went through all of my clothes because I wear quite neutral colors now. Anyway, to find something bright. So I found this bright green shirt and I thought, okay, that'll be perfect. Anyway, after the photos are taken, Kate tells me that my shirt has been inside out the whole photo.
I noticed this tag hanging out and I was like, Sophie, I think your shirt's on inside out.
My boyfriend was rather pleased because he said the photographer was hitting on him during the shoot.
Oh my gosh, she just made a joke.
Oh. Wow.
Well, as I said before, I'm still waiting to be paid for the photo. Sophie said that she would give me $30 and then Amy said...
Did you really?
And then Amy's like, we're not paying her. And then Sophie's like, I'll take you out for a meal and I'm still waiting.
No, I offered you at the house. You've been wanting to try my new protein powder and I said, I'll make you...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sophie offered me a free smoothie at her house.
And a piece of chocolate.
I love that it's just gone from money to a dinner out to a smoothie. That's how much you're worth, Kate, a smoothie.
I know. I have my own smoothie ingredients.
You know what? This could be the best photo you've ever seen of yourself. Mm. And then you'll be thanking me for it.
I'm not sure. I didn't do my tan. I only tanned my neck. It was a very lazy tan.
Well, anyway, we'll keep you guys posted on the photo if it does appear in the paper. Thank you again for tuning in. We'd love if you could come and join us in our Facebook community. We've mentioned it a few times.
Oh, and it's so exciting. It's growing. I keep getting notifications of people joining. So please keep that up. It's so exciting and so great to have a spot where we can all talk.
So definitely come and join us in there. And if you did enjoy the episode, we'd love if you could share it on your Insta story as always and tag us so we can reshare it.
Oh, there have been some such cute dogs the last couple of weeks.
Maybe people can put their cute cats in there as well. We're a cat family here.
Except your dog that you're playing with right now.
All right, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being in your ears on Thursday.